Report number
889, the song after the lesson. I want to join with Garrett for thanking everyone for being here with us this evening. It's not only we've been in a change of seasons, now we're in a change of time, and I'm sure as some, it's still having a little bit of trouble getting adapted to that, that maybe not wanting to be here because of the change of time and the lights and things like that, but we're glad that you're here this evening. Just for a little bit this evening, I want to talk about something that maybe is something that we might think about off and on. If you weren't here this morning and didn't hear Barry's lesson on a change of attitude, I'd encourage you to go back to the website and listen to that. And there's a lot of what he mentioned in his lesson this morning that there'll be little bits here and there in this that was probably in his this morning, and maybe not the exact same phrasing, but the same kind of a thought process that goes into it. You know, we understand as Christians that we are to be different from the world. We just know that we're supposed to be called out and be different. But the world tells us to look out for number one, to take care of yourself, not paying any attention to anybody else. But you know, as Christians, God expects us to have a very different mindset. We are to be a peculiar people set apart from the rest of the world. And a big part of what sets us apart from the world is that mindset, the way we see things. Because we should be looking at things from more of a spiritual mindset, a more Jesus-like frame of mind than we are a worldly frame of mind. We can't be like the world and look out just for number one and not worry about the things going on around us. We have to take care of ourselves as well. I understand that yet, but that's not supposed to be our number one priority as a child of God. So for the study this evening, I want to look at something that maybe we don't think about or understand to begin with. And that's a servant heart. What is a servant heart? A servant heart is one that is humble, has love and care for others, and desires to serve others as opportunities arise. As we go through this lesson, I want you to keep that in your thought process as we go through the lesson this evening. You know, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So it says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love and be of one accord, one mind. And then he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but also the things of others. You know, this is a guide group of verses for how to have a servant heart. That we don't look on our own things only, but we look on the things of others around us that may need help as situations arise. And then in this short group of verses, he finishes it with, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, doesn't being a Christian mean that we are to become more Christ-like each and every day? Then we need to pay attention to what he says we should be like. And what better example can we have than Jesus to be that example? Philippians 2 and chapter 2, verse 7, just down from where we just read, says, but made himself, of course Jesus, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So we know Jesus came to this earth in the form of man. But you know, before he says that, it says he took on the form of a servant. And for us to try to be more Christ-like each and every day, when our Savior, Jesus Christ, says he took on the form of a servant, then we need to take on that form of a servant. John chapter 13, starting verse number 12, says, "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are you if ye do them." So he says, here, I'm going to wash your feet. And we know the story of Peter. Peter says, no, I'm not having that, Lord. You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus tells him, well, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And Peter tells him, well, not only my feet then, but my whole body. So we understand the concept that Jesus is laying out here as an example, that here I am, your Lord and Master, as it says, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Here he is, our Master and Lord, taking on one of the lowliest forms of servanthood mankind at that time knew, was to wash the dirty feet of the people that came into your house. You know, we don't want to do that nowadays. And yet Jesus was willing to do that then to his disciples and his apostles, and show that as an example of how they should treat others that they came into contact with. Matthew chapter 20, starting verse 20, says, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say unto him, We are able." Little did they realize. But they say, We're able. And he saith unto them, "Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So here Zebedee's mom comes to him and he says, "Well, hey, grant that my sons can sit on your right hand, your left hand." And Jesus tells them, "You don't know what you ask." And then he tells them, "Surely you'll be baptized the baptism I am, and this and that and the other." But he says, if you really want to be chief, if you really want to sit at my right hand or my left hand, paraphrasing what might be thought, he says, "You shall be a servant. He that will be chief among you, let him be your servant." And boy, that's not what they had in mind. They weren't asking to be a servant to the people. They were asking to be set upon Jesus' right hand and left hand. Do we get that way? You know, Barry talked a little bit about that this morning on people at work, and they think, you know, that maybe somebody else getting a little more praise than they are, a little more this or that benefits, but yet it's still the job. Just do your job. these had that idea as well, that, well, hey, we ought to be better than the other 10 that we're traveling with. Let us sit on your right hand, your left hand. And Jesus tells them, so if you want that position, first you have to be a servant. And that's a foreign concept for them. Looking at these examples, we have something to go by, something to pattern our lives after, something to motivate us to check our heart. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 28, I don't have these verses on the screen, and 1 Corinthians 11, 28 says, we are told to examine ourselves before we partake in communion. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, we are told to examine ourselves to actually know ourselves, what motivates us, what we do, and why we do it. So we can see that for us to question or examine ourselves should be a constant part of who we are as children of God. Before we were obedient to the gospel and were added to the church, we lived however we wanted to. We had no regard for others, how anybody viewed us, whatever the case was. I just did what I wanted to do and didn't worry about anybody else. But now, since we're children of God, we need to consider how we are viewed by the world. We no longer live to ourselves, but to Christ and God. So where we used to live for ourselves up here and put ourselves on the pedestal, now we need to be moved down and we live for Christ and God. That's the way our lives should be as children of God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 says, who gave himself for us, of course, again, Jesus, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So Galatians says, I'm crucified with Christ, but I live, but yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And that should be the direct correlation to why we need to have a servant heart. So back to the type of heart we should have. You know, in the story of Samuel being sent to the house of Jesse the Bethlehemite to pick one of his sons to become the new king after Saul, Jesse brought 7 of his sons before Samuel. And all of these 7 boys were, you know, strapping, healthy young men that were, you know, their stature was great, and that's what Samuel saw. He saw the stature of them that was great and thought that several of them at one time was, well, surely this is the Lord's anointed to replace Saul. And yet through all 7 of those, God said, that's none of these are who I'm choosing. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God looks at our hearts. So by God looking at our hearts, don't you think we ought to mold our hearts into one that would please God? You know, if we're trying our best to live a life according to God and Christ and to be more Christ-like and knowing that God looks at the heart, shouldn't we mold our hearts to be more pleasing to God? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7 says, do you look on things after the outward appearance? Do we? Yes, we do. That's just part of human nature. We look on things of the outward appearance. But he says, if any man trust himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. You know, this verse is extremely important verse for us as we strive to serve others. We read this and we just skim over it and we say, yeah, well, okay, that's a pretty good verse. Got a couple of thoughts in it, okay, And then we just go on and we forget it and go on. You know, when we go about serving others, sometimes, most times, we are guilty of judging if they're worthy to be served. We look at somebody standing on the street corner with a sign and we think, well, you know, get a job. Well, that's not necessarily the case for a lot of those people. There's just no way they can get by. And we see people like that and we, well, look how he's dressed. Look at his hair. You know, I don't know if we want to help these people or not. That's a lot of time, that's the way we look at those things. But when we go about serving others, sometimes, most times, we are guilty of judging if they're worthy to be served. Whether consciously or subconsciously, we look and we decide yay or nay. But what the message here truly is in this verse is that if we consider ourselves to be Christ or to belong to Christ, notice the last of the verse. He says, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. So when we get to judging people that we look at and we see, do they need help? Then we know we belong to Christ. Well, they belong to Christ as well. And that ought to shape how our attitude is on whether we want to help people or not. We can't play partiality in our service to anybody. If they need help and we are able to help, then help. That's just all there is to it, just help. We can't drive by down the street and think, well, you know, I should have stopped back there and helped that guy change that flat. Well, I should have stopped at this girl at the grocery store that was running out of money buying groceries and stuff for her kids and didn't have enough money. I should have stepped up and helped that. Whatever the situation arises, help. That's what a servant heart does. Matthew 13, verse 3 through 9 says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, brought forth good fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, we understand this parable here and what its meaning is. But let's go on down and pick up verse 18 and 19 here. Here's the explanation of this parable. Verse 18 says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So it says, that which was sown in his heart, that's the word of God. We understand in this parable that the ground that the seed is spread on represents our hearts. Some fell on good ground, some fell on thorny ground, some fell on ground that had no ground, more rock. But you notice in these verses, it doesn't say that the sower sowed sparingly, that he just sprinkled a little here and sprinkled a little there, put some here, some there. No, he just sowed. He went out and sowed the seed, just spread the seed. The moral here, whether spreading God's seed, God's word, the seed, or spreading help, is just do it. Don't be sparingly with it. Don't pick and choose where we use it at, but just do it. Whether we get the response we think we ought to get or not, keep spreading. You know, all of us at one time or another wonder, what kind of a heart do I have? What kind of a heart should I have? What kind of heart does God expect me to have? These are all valid questions for us to ask ourselves, but if we follow the example set by Jesus and have a true desire to put others first, then we will truly have a servant heart. We should have a servant heart and the mindset that goes with that. A servant heart begins within. An inward mindset before it becomes an outward action. A servant heart is not about status, but about love. When we look at others and we judge whether we think we do or not, it should be judged by love. We can serve in all aspects of our lives, at church, at home, the community, at work, wherever we find ourselves, there's plenty of opportunities pop up. And when we train our hearts and our focus to look for that, then we see those opportunities all around us, and we can show forth God's love by serving others. We need to ask ourselves two questions. Am I serving from love or serving to be noticed? Number two, do I see the needs of others or only my own agenda? When we look to be a servant to others, these are questions we need to ask ourselves. Matthew 23, verse 11 says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." We picked this up in Matthew earlier. It said, when the brothers were asking to sit on his right hand and left hand, but he told them, "He that is greatest, you want to be a chief, then you need to be a servant." A servant heart is one that is humble, has love and care for others, and desires to serve others as the opportunities arise. Do we have a servant heart? When we find those things in our opportunity, our realm of opportunities that we see that we could be a help, do we judge some to be not worthy of that help? Do we answer the questions, do I do it out of love or do I do it to be seen a man? You know, some of this Barry talked about this morning in his lesson. The thing is, a servant heart should be based on love and a study of God's word and examples that Jesus left for us to follow. And we should all have a servant heart. If you're having trouble this evening with viewing things to be able to have a servant heart that you may not think it's something you want to strive to do, then you need to have a re-examination of your life, because as children of God, that's one of the commands that we should have, that we should serve others. I don't have anything else to mention at this time. We'll close with that. If there's any brother or sister have any need, we'd ask you to come forward. Have a seat on the front while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.